Hey everyone, welcome to the sixth episode of the Peatcraft Podcast. This week we'll be taking a slight detour from covering monks and just talk about the upcoming BlizzCon that's next week. I'm your host, Babylonius, and since this topic couldn't just be contained to one or two people, we decided to take a shot with having more guests. So we are up to four guests, which is a little bit more than we have had in previous weeks, although not as much as we expected. We had a couple people with things come up at the last minute, so it shouldn't quite be as crazy as I was anticipating it ended up being, but we will give it a try nonetheless. So with me here today, we have Zukon. How's it going?
All good, thank you.
And returning is Hina Lover.
Hello.
And Fatal Bones.
Hey, what's up?
And last and certainly not least, Shrike.
Hey, everybody.
All right, so for anyone who's somehow avoided anything, BlizzCon is Blizzard's annual convention, as you could maybe figure that out by the name. Normally kind of a big event every year for WoW fans, for Blizzard fans. Comes with a lot of events, comes with a lot of information, news, clips about new stuff, not necessarily about WoW or even necessarily about monks. So this podcast will be a little bit more open and general than the other ones. But since BlizzCon was coming up, I didn't want to get started on one spec and then have to take a week off for BlizzCon and then do another spec, you know, with a two-week break. So someone suggested we do it this way, so we will give it a shot. So getting started with the past, who has, out of you all, who has been to BlizzCon in the past?
I have. Twice
this
now.
My first year.
I went last year. That was my first time.
I've never attended. Okay. I'm European.
I'm glad you haven't either, because I have not, and I would have felt really bad if I was the only one who was not going this year or have been in the past. And I don't have the excuse of being European. It's just on the other side of the country.
For those who have never gone, and this is their first year going, the main thing I would suggest to you is take it slow, enjoy the atmosphere, don't worry about trying to catch all the things you want to, just focus on keeping up with your people you are playing with and whatnot. This is supposed to be a celebration of sort. You can always catch up on anything you've missed on the replays, so yeah, I'd say take it slow. And don't get over rushed with the whole Marriott being a insane place to be each and every year.
That sounds like good advice. I think were I to be going, I kind of, after last year, watching it, you know, through the virtual pass after last year, I was kind of concerned that if I went again, I would end up just in the Overwatch auditorium just watching that, because that was like the highlight of watching it last year for me, and I'd end up missing all of the WoW stuff.
One of the cool things is that there's just so much, you know, and it's all good, so even if I'm not interested too much in anything except for WoW, but I still had a good time sitting there and watching Overwatch for a while, or sitting there and watching StarCraft. Like, it was all well produced and it was really interesting.
And one thing to note is you do not, if at least for the opening ceremony, you do not need to be in the Mythic area, far left side of the place. You can literally be in any of the areas just to watch the opening ceremony. You could be in the Hearthstone if you so wish, and they have a screen going.
Or you could be like me and sitting in my living room. So, for those of you, Hina and Shrike, what was your favorite thing from BlizzCons of the past? For having been there, what was kind of the one thing that sticks out to you the most?
Actually, just meeting up with the people you play with. A lot of times, especially on a Thursday night, people just spend the entire night at Marriott just meeting up with all their friends. Sometimes I know for a while there was a monk meetup on Saturday that Chai Tea used to do. since he's no longer in the community, but I don't know if there's going to be one this year or not. But people over by the water fountain right in front of the convention center, there's a circular area, particularly for the, particularly on Saturday, you'll see a lot of Friday, you'll see a lot of cosplayers just meet up at the circle. And it's a good place to meet up during the convention. Just meeting up with people, just having a good time, just kind of figuring out what you want to do, just kind of lay back, just enjoy yourself.
What about you, Shrike?
I definitely agree with the meeting people. Like, it's a really cool experience for me, I think, to actually get to see people in person who I know pretty well over the internet, but it's never the same seeing them in real life, and I thought that was really cool. The other thing is, the whole atmosphere of the place is insane and incredible. Like, you're there with tens of thousands of people who care deeply about the same hobby that you care about, and it's just really awesome to be in that position, just get to nerd out for an entire weekend with people who share the same interests.
Awesome. So, getting away from being there, kind of thinking back to BlizzCons of the past, watching them or being there, I know for me there's kind of one or two moments that really stick out in my mind having just watched the last couple. So maybe just in general, not necessarily having been there, and everyone can answer this question, but what kind of memory from BlizzCons of the past have stuck out to you? Maybe watching it or an event or an announcement, stuff like that.
Well, I know for me, last year was the first year I was like super invested in BlizzCon. Like I was super hyped for new announcements and stuff. And they actually went super hard in like announcing new stuff for WoW. They announced Classic and they did the BFA reveal and they did the BFA cinematic reveal. So I think the Classic announcement was the most surprising to me because I never thought they would actually do that with the Blizzard logo on it, with the Blizzard brand name behind it. So that was probably my favorite part of last year, and just seeing everyone's reaction to actually having it in the near future was really cool. And then this year, 1 year later, we're going to have Classic as a playable demo, so that's really cool to see the progression there.
I remember being really, really hyped about the Warlords of Draenor release, or like the initial trailer from Blisk that was like 5 years ago or something.
When they said the word savage 2 or 3 dozen times in half an hour?
A few times.
So Hina, Shrike, what memory sticks out for you two, besides being there and meeting people?
I would say each expansion being released, announced, really. Warlords of Draenor was a little bit of an oddball since it was announced. Sorry, Legion was announced a few months prior to BlizzCon, so that was a little on the odd side, but each of the expansions, but in terms of other properties, I was quite surprised with the Overwatch Overwatch announcement. Sombra was another high point because I was following that, as well as the Classic, which is out of left field.
I definitely agree with the Classic one. I don't think anyone was expecting that. I'm kind of in the same boat as Fatal Blends here, where I just wasn't paying too much attention to previous BlizzCons, so I only have the one to compare to, but for me it was definitely Classic. The BFA announcement was very cool, and all of the features that they announced were really exciting, but Classic was the one that no one was expecting, and it was really neat to see that they were considering it and that they were also pretty far along with it.
Definitely. I think, you know, because I've been following them for a couple years, obviously, as I did a lot of stuff for the community and all that. And I think kind of for me, the thing that sticks out the most now but didn't then was the Mists of Pandaria release trailer. Like, I think even it didn't really, like, it was, I was very excited for it back then, but I wasn't obviously playing a monk because they didn't exist. I didn't really have any plans on playing a monk. And now, kind of, you know, years later, thinking back to that, like, oh, you know, that moment that Taran Ju, you know, appears from the mist, and the orc and the human, you know, or like the human hands the orc, you know, a stick or something like that so they can fight together. Like, that's like the one thing, and kind of seeing that, that really sticks out to me as kind of, I guess, kind of setting the path that I've been on the past half a decade.
Actually, that was Chen, not Taran.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I do believe that was the first BlizzCon I watched, as I can remember at least. Or I had watched them in the past, but it was the first one I followed, like, vigorously. And I have been following them for the most part since, but the Mists of Pandaria one was really, really good.
I've been following, I've been watching them since the one they announced Mists of Pandaria. I had been following on, like, Wowhead and MMO Champion prior to that, but I wasn't able to purchase the virtual ticket back then. But Pandaria was the one that I started watching religiously ever since.
Pandaria was actually when I... Mists was when I started playing the game. So I've never experienced anything besides Monk in this game. Like, that's always been my main. I used to PvP back in Mists. But yeah, that was the first... That was, like, I guess the trailer that got me into the game and got my friends in, back into the game.
Cool.
And I started playing with them. So, yeah, that's... One cool thing about Mist for me.
Awesome. All right, so now I know we kind of mentioned it, but who all is going again this year?
I am, but I think my experience is going to be different than other people's because I'm actually going to be, like, working there because I live very close by. I live, like, 20 minutes away from the event center, so I will be a merch vendor. Like a cashier, so I'll be around if people want to say hi.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Super last minute too. I didn't plan on going, but I saw a flyer on my campus and they were looking for BlizzCon employees, so I was like, why not?
Yeah, that sounds a good idea.
You'll probably be actually underneath the Mystic area because starting 2 years ago, they started putting the merchandise stuff on the bottom floor. So you might not be able to see much outside of work.
That's okay. As long as there's a TV screen and I can see anything that's happening, that's okay. Or people could come down and meet me too. So,
cause now, I'm going to be getting paid for it. With people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't go last year, but I went the year before, and I don't remember a TV screen down there. There might be now.
We'll see. Either way, it'll be a good time.
So, Heen, are you going again this year?
Not this year, but I'm trying my hardest to go next year. There was just some... things with work that the timing of would have been very awkward to go this year. So I decided not to go this year, but next year I'm trying desperately to save up time for it.
And Shrike, are you going this year?
Yes, I am.
Cool. Yeah, I was really hoping to go this year, but it looking at the cost, because I live on the East Coast, it is almost, I don't want to say almost cheaper, but it is only a little bit more expensive for me to take my wife and my daughter to Disney for a week than it is to fly to Anaheim for a weekend, just because of how expensive flights are across the country. So one of these days, I'm really hoping to go next year, and traveling with a 3.5-year-old sounds a lot better than traveling with a 2.5-year-old.
Well, I'm kind of in the same boat, East Coast as well, and less two times I went, I actually went with Virgin America, and I think it was like $350 round trip.
Yeah, but you were having to buy tickets for a family.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
If I go by myself, that'd be totally different. Yeah, I could go by myself. But I can't just leave my wife at home with my daughter for a couple of days.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is you got Disneyland literally half a mile down the street. So.
Yeah. That's why I think next year we'll try and make a plan. Maybe go out for like the whole week. You know, that whole week before, and do Disneyland, do Legoland, Universal, all that stuff. And then, you know, my daughter will be a little bit older. She will have been watching me play for more than 3 years at that point. So, you know, maybe actually taking her and my wife to BlizzCon will be a little bit easier.
Being out for the week leading up would give you time to go to some of the stuff that's on Wednesday and Thursday, too.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the biggest thing is since I've been writing for Wowhead, like Wowhead has a party the Thursday before. Like, so here, like, I'm on some kind of list to get in to a selective party, which has never happened in my life, and I can't go. So one of these days, and honestly, you know, I'd love to just go. I'll get like a custom Peak shirt made with Babylonius on the back, and I'd like to just, you know, bask in maybe 15 minutes of people recognizing me for a little bit. So, Will, on that point, does everybody have a Peak shirt that they will be taking to BlizzCon?
Well, seeing my position, I don't think I will be able to wear it, but I would if I could.
I actually do not have a Peak shirt at the moment, but maybe I should get.
I mean, not only do they look nice, but they're actually very comfortable. I have two. I have quite a, you know... I have paid my share of Peak merchandise.
I actually got one just to wear to BlizzCon, but I also have a guild shirt, so that's my clothing picked out for the con.
There you go. You don't have to think about it. But yeah, so for anyone who's listening, it's probably a little tight to order shirts and sweatshirts and stuff now, but. Maybe for next year, you know, Peak does have merchandise, T-shirts, and all that that you can buy and wear. We did that last year as a request for people wanting to go to BlizzCon and stuff. And I know last year a couple people took pictures of everybody wearing their Peak shirts. So just something to recognize other people who care about the same stuff as you care about in an area, in a convention full with people that already care about the stuff that you care about. All right, so... for this year, whether you're going or not, what is something that you guys are kind of looking forward to?
I'm definitely looking forward to more information on further in BFA, possibly more on next expansion and more on Classic. I'm not as interested in Overwatch, Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstone, or whatever else they have to say, but I'll probably tune in.
Yeah, I'd be watching all the other games besides WoW 2, but I only really have my mind on what's in the future for WoW. But I hope they announce some sort of some information on the next expansion, and if not, just some stuff maybe on the next raid. I know they just recently announced the Dazar'alar raid, so I don't know if they'll have too much ready after that, but we'll see.
I am going to keep my eye on WoW news. I'm not expecting too much. What I am expecting is, in terms of information, 8.1 information, most likely 8.2, and I'm expecting a hint at 8.3, if any. But in terms of WoW news, I'm expecting this kind of be a slow year more than anything else. And that based off of timeline, I'm expecting more information out of, say, Diablo than I am with WoW.
Yeah, I'd expect at most some info on 8.2. But realistically, I think they'll just announce like Pathfinder or something, 3.1, or some changes they're making to the Azrite system maybe. But I don't see too many big announcements like they had last year.
And there's definitely going to be a PvP announcement, though.
Which, speaking of, the new voice that everybody hears is Harl. He did decide to find time in his busy schedule to join us. So thanks for popping in.
Yeah, I could finally reach one.
I'm glad. So, Harl, to get you caught up, have you been to BlizzCon in the past?
No, I haven't, actually.
And are you going this year?
Not this year, no.
Okay. So that pretty much catches you up to everything we've talked about thus far. Now we're just generally talking about things that we're excited for this year in BlizzCon, or looking forward to.
One elephant in the room that I would like addressed as soon as possible is, of course, when the next raid is going to launch. Because I, for one, am not done with progress yet. So I need to know if we need to speed up or not. I'm very certain that we will be able to do it in time, but you know.
In terms of things I'm seeing, I'm expecting 8.1 to hit either the end of November or early December, mostly because they have some new Christmas event stuff implemented in 8.1. But in terms of the raid, I'm not expecting that until January.
I'm hoping at least until later in January or early February.
You guys are very hopeful because it's definitely going to be another Christmas raid.
Oh, God.
They've done it twice, or at least twice in the last couple of years. They did it with Heimdall.
I know they did it for Cataclysm. When was the last time they did it?
TOS, wasn't it? Or was it Antorus?
TOS was over summer. I missed the first week of TOS because I was on my honeymoon.
Antorus released in November or December.
I know the Cataclysm, the last raid, I forget what it is off the top of my head.
Dragon Soul.
That was over Christmas because a lot of guilds had to take off the week of Christmas in the U.S., and then Europe came along and beat it during Christmas.
Heimdall was like middle of December, so that is interesting.
That's kind of one of the other things I'm hoping for is just a timeline, and I think we'll get that. I think we'll probably get, you know, a release cinematic and a date. And I think the date will probably... I'm thinking the date will be... For 8.1, will be the end of November. And I do kind of believe that we'll get the new raid like the second week of December. Although I would like for them to wait just until after the holidays.
I know a lot of people are hoping they release it after Christmas. I know a lot of people would be super upset if they had to make plans around raiding during Christmas again.
I really hope I can just take a break during Christmas time, but if they release a raid at that time, I might have to.
Well, I thought the way they did patches in Legion was pretty good, where it was the 8.1 with the new content and then the 8.1.5 with the raid, because that helps to stagger it out a little bit and avoid content drought. And it also gives you a better timeline so that you actually know when this stuff is launching. Like, we always knew, okay, 8.1 dropped, we've got a couple months, and then the actual raid will drop.
Well, you also have to realize they just released in the patch, the ETR patch a couple of weeks ago, timeline for the the storyline for each of the factions, and each one of those is about 3 weeks, and so you know you're going to have at least 3 weeks after the patch before the raid opens up. So if they do beginning of December, you know it's going to be at least after Christmas. And the other thing is, they tend to want to do raids for 4 months. 4 to 6 months is tend to be what they expect raids to last. Anything longer, anything shorter, it feels off. So 4 months would be August to January, basically. Sorry, August, September, October, November, December. So I'm saying either end of December, early January.
I can agree with that. Though they have given us like very short terms in the past sometimes, but usually they like to stretch it out. I did feel like they had a lot more control early in Legion than they did at the end, because then they suddenly, like, they dropped, on BlizzCon, they dropped, like, yeah, Antorus is going to release in 3 weeks, like, out of nowhere. But in Nighthold, they gave you, like, the, first you'll have Trials of Valor, and then you'll have, like, the patch, and the patch will go for quite a while before the Nighthold actually opens, which I liked very much.
Well, and Legion had, wasn't Legion the 77 day, like the 11 week cycle? And that seemed to be a really great pace to things.
And it sounds like that was completely unintended, it sounds like, until the very end.
All right, so the other voice you may have heard while Hina was talking was Callie. I was able to convince her to join us. So welcome, Callie.
Hello. Last minute hello.
Glad you're here. And able to
I would
find
like to say congratulations. I would like to say congratulations to Kelly on the engagement.
Thank you.
Got herself some jewelry.
Ring in my face. Yeah, he shoved a ring in my face, and I actually said, "You're supposed to ask at a special point in time, not just like shove a ring in my face."
Nah, asking for a special point in time is if you're not confident they'll say yes.
That's true. That's true. He was apparently going to put it in a Kinder Surprise and then ate the Kinder Surprise.
Understandable. I mean, at least it wasn't in when he ate it.
That's true.
Or maybe it was and he just didn't tell you.
I'm going to go wash this ring.
She just got it. You don't have to make her.
In terms of patch, though, I kind of agree with the sentiment that we're probably looking at Battle of Dazzlor. I would say it sounds like in January, but Eldir to me isn't it's tuned a lot better than Emerald Nightmare was in terms that it actually feels like a mythic instance versus here's some loot pinata.
It does have a problem with the reorigination array though. Like the raid feels very good, but I do feel like we're really, really outgearing it.
Yeah, which I suppose is the intended effect.
Okay, so I guess we'll catch Callie up a little bit. Callie, I know you have been to BlizzCon in the past. Are you going this year?
Yep, I am heading out on Tuesday.
Gotcha. So what are you looking forward to? Because that's kind of how we got on this topic. What are you looking forward to out of this year's BlizzCon?
Another disappointment when they don't announce Diablo 4, because that's kind of been the running joke of, they're going to do it this year. Okay, they did. They're going to do it this year. And they never do. And we got Diablo on Switch, so I'm like, yeah, okay, it's probably not happening this year.
I mean, I feel like you probably got a long time before you catch up to Half-Life territory.
That's true. And what was it, 12 years or something between 2 and 3?
So, yeah, I mean, still, 12 years still is not quite close to Half-Life.
Yep, exactly.
I want my Warcraft 4 soon.
Yeah, Warcraft. I'm thinking World of Warcraft 2. They'll definitely announce that.
Wasn't that Burning Crusade, though?
So that means we're on World of Warcraft, what, 8? 7?
Yep.
All right, so I guess that is a good segue as any. What if you had like one crazy prediction that, you know, probably won't come true, but would just make your BlizzCon experience if it happened? What would your crazy prediction be?
Cdew is finally going to win BlizzCon, and the memes can finally.
That was harsh.
I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. But
It's not going to happen. We can hope.
That's why this was the crazy prediction. We'll get to the realistic predictions next.
Azurite armor was a failure. We're removing it, and also we're adding back in Master Leader.
And Piercets. But I don't know about that. That's a little out there, because I think they've already confirmed that they're sticking with the Azar system for the expansion, because they've designed so much around it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do a major systems change like that. That's crazy predictions.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, announcing the next expansion would be a little out there. I don't know if they would ever do that this early, but who knows?
Battle for Azeroth. Yeah, we don't like it either, so we're just going to change it.
We're going to skip this one.
Yeah, Wrath of the Khorgis 2019. Look forward to it.
We've decided to cut this expansion short and just start with the next one.
Sounds like a better plot.
In a shocking twist, it's more finished than Battle for Azeroth was.
Well, you know, they're always working on the next expansion.
I'm sure the Queen of England would love that expansion.
Battle of the Khorgis.
She's prepared for this her entire reign.
Yeah, we get back to those commercials with, like, Mr. T talking about what class he plays, and it's the Queen of England.
God, I remember that event.
Oh, another crazy prediction. They add in a race that DKs and or Demon Hunters can also be, since we haven't gotten a single new race for them, other than
That's a good one.
Hey, we got one in Mist of Pandaria, don't you remember?
No, not for DKs. DKs got Worgen and Goblin in Cataclysm, and after that, they haven't gotten anything.
I mean, do you want to be a Death Knight Panda?
I would be a Death Knight or a Panda anything. I mean, that's my banner on Twitter. Is like Arthas Panda and Illidan Panda.
See, and I'm glad that I could ask that question already knowing what your answer was going to be.
I want Volpera to be Demon Hunters. That's all I need in life.
That's what I was going to say as one of my real predictions was new races like Volpera.
I was really hoping I could be a Dark Iron Dwarf Death Knight. Disappointed.
Yeah, or a Nightborn Demon Hunter. Blood Elves are just kind of boring.
Or a Void Elf Demon Hunter.
Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, some of the problems arise, like, with Iron Dwarfs, is don't their eyes glow? And then, like, DK's eyes glow, or Demon Hunters don't have eyes, or have a whatever over their eyes? Like, you're going to be missing out part of the art.
I mean, if I have to give up my Demon Hunter tattoos that I can't see anyway for Nightborn tattoos that I also can't see anyway, I'll go with the Nightborn ones, just to change it up a little.
I think it'd be cool if they did Dark Iron tattoos, but the tattoos were light, like bright white or something to offset the dark color.
Yeah, or like kind of like molten lines.
That's a good
idea. That would have been super cool.
Maybe that's going to happen. That's what they're going to announce.
Dwarf Demon Hunters.
Yes.
I am very certain that they will do something with races. They will probably give us... Yeah, we have a few. You have Sethrak, you have Volpera, and you have some on the other continent as well, I guess. I haven't really done the Alliance leveling yet, but we'll probably get some...
Yeah, I could see them announcing new races. I wouldn't be too surprised if they also say anything about class changes, which will be just kind of a one-off. Hey, yeah, we're looking at class balance, and we have this patch we're working on. That type of thing. Nothing like too in-depth, because they never do that other than non-expansion announcements.
I also just remembered something I've been pretty excited for since last expansion. I hope they announce a Mage Tower kind of thing for this expansion, because I know they've said they were looking to do that again.
So that's true. That was a very popular... If I'd say that was maybe almost the most popular thing that they had coming out of Legion was the Mage Towers.
Mage Tower was extremely cool, and especially since the hardcore players could progress it and do it at the start when it was really, really difficult, and at the same time the more casual players could get more gear to actually be able to do it as well. Replayability was like the small issue with it. I hope they could do something about that and introduce a new one.
Yeah,
one of their retrospectives that they said, yeah, we'd like it to be replayable.
I actually had a friend who did it on his Death Knight and then went and leveled a Death Knight alt because he wanted to see if he'd gotten better, or like how he'd progressed as a player in between doing it and the patches and stuff. And I thought that was interesting.
Well, the time challenge.
Some people that went and got every transmog on every class and every mage tower.
I got all the monk ones, so I was happy with that.
I'm sorry, but that Mistweaver one was...
It was a pain. That was the last one I did, and that one was actually really impressive to me, because even though I outgeared it, it didn't make it any easier. And I'm like, this is a well-done challenge.
I don't think it was very early. Like I don't know if it was well done, just so much the fact that Mistweaver was really god-awful in five-man scenarios.
That's true. There were parts of it that I felt were unnecessary, but the fact that it was still challenging, even when it was end of expansion, I was like, okay, that means that it was actually a real challenge versus just something I could overpower.
Yeah, for other healers, that challenge was very doable, like when it was released. For Mistweavers, you literally had to make no mistakes and be like, do time all of your cooldowns exactly for when you needed them. And like find every way to drink between pulls. It was super challenging. If you messed one thing up, like if you got mana stung at some point, it was just a while, like you just restarted, and that was that.
The tank challenge was absolutely brutal on release.
I have words about
but it got easier as you went by, but you got really, really good at it after a while. And Brewmaster was really, really fun to play because you could like put your transcendence on the platform and use goblin gliders to get back if you got knocked off and all of that.
I was a prop paladin when that released.
Oh, yeah, that was impossible.
The Brewmaster one, until they did the final 400 nerfs, I actually couldn't even get to Cruel because I didn't have the Purify belt, because that was my very last monk legendary that I even got.
I did it after the second round of nerfs without Purifying Belt in full DPS spec, and that was very interesting.
Pretty much what you had to do, because it didn't feel like a real tank challenge to me. It felt more like just a damage challenge.
Yeah, I actually felt better about it as a tank challenge as I went through and did all of them. It was very mechanical, and your positioning mattered a lot. It was more about the... It wasn't about the numbers and survivability as it was about controlling the encounter. And I didn't, on the first couple of times I went through it, I didn't like it either. And I didn't feel like it was testing my skills as a tank. But as I kind of got more familiar with it and did it across all the tank specs, I thought that it ended up testing more of the qualitative tank skills.
I felt that way on my Demon Hunter more so than on my Brewmaster. On my Demon Hunter, because I actually had to time when I used certain cooldowns and when I used certain utility exactly for controlling it. Whereas on Brewmaster, it's like, well, I have to somehow out-damage this because I can't out-survive it.
Yeah, I think the DPS check was definitely overtuned at the beginning, but I made my peace with it as I did it on more and more classes.
Hey, it gave me the best transmog for Brewmaster, so...
It definitely was overdone at the start. Some classes it was almost impossible. Druids bugged it out at the start and got it by outranging the first boss. But they very quickly... But most tanks just couldn't touch it.
I only did it on my monk, my mage, and the tank and feral one for my druid. And I did the Guardian one at the very end with like a few days left to spare. And I was struggling with that on my Guardian for the longest time. Getting through phase one was a struggle at first. And then I kind of got the timing down. But then it was just phase two just kind of just destroyed me every time. And I was just like, what the hell am I doing wrong?
Yeah, once I got to phase two, I was generally able to down it within, like, a couple of pulls. But I remember that Ariel actually did it without Mark of Ursel when he did the Guardian one, just to test it out and prove that it was doable. And I was like, well, you know, kudos to you and definite props. But, I mean, dude, you could have done it in half the attempts with Mark of Ursel.
So what about this as an idea? Since, it, you know, if they were to combine something, say they announce some form of combination of the Mage Tower, Proving Grounds, and then add in like a little bit of a leaderboard, like challenge modes. Because I think those three mechanics, you know, and things in the game all kind of worked individually, but then they just kind of dumped a lot of that. So I kind of feel like if they were to let Mage Tower type thing combine it with Proving Grounds and let people, you know, kind of keep pushing harder and harder so that you have that replayability that was kind of a weakness of the Mage Tower, that might be an interesting idea.
Yeah, taking it from the Proving Grounds, I would strongly agree. I personally never did Proving Grounds, but I know a lot of people who did and super enjoyed that challenge. There were just a couple of AI things that they just...
I do agree. A leaderboard would be really cool for Mage Tower. I know I do a lot of Mythic Plus, so like leaderboards are something that makes you feel like you're progressing in the game and that you're like one of the better people. But I feel like even for Mage Tower, it'd be better because you're relying solely on yourself to do all of the progressing. You don't have anyone else to blame, and you have to kind of reflect on what you're doing and see what you can do better as a player. So that'd be really cool to implement into a single player type content.
Would almost be like a speedrunning kind of thing then, most likely, if you can, because there you already have a community.
Yeah.
But it would be more contained within WoW. But
yeah, I mean, you could make the leaderboards based on speed. Maybe there's a difficulty level. Maybe things scale like Mythic Plus. You know, maybe then you start tossing affixes in. Probably not, but maybe just things start hitting harder, have more health, or, you know, blah, 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 as you get higher and higher. So then it's entirely personal. You know, it's entirely kind of up to you. You can compete for speed or for difficulty, you know, with, and that's all kind of things, all keeping mechanics that they currently have in the game that they really would just have to re-implement.
Sounds like a fun idea for sure. Like, personally, I did not like Proving Grounds that much when I played them. Like, they were fine. I didn't like sitting there and playing Endless. Like, it was a bit boring.
Yeah, I would agree.
But I would definitely like it for the replayability aspect. Like, I definitely wanted to go back and see how much better I'd gotten at the challenge after getting better as a player and getting better with the class and stuff. It would be, I don't know that I would necessarily sit there and try to push ranks, but I would definitely love to be able to do something like that and then come back and test myself on it again later.
Yeah, like even if they just tied cosmetic rewards like to it, like they did Mage Tower, maybe added a transmog or like some pets or maybe even a mount. That would be really cool to see as personal rewards.
Especially the transmog, because of the fact that we're not really getting a lot of class sets. Because like Monk doesn't actually have a ton compared to other classes, nor does, yeah. And Demon Hunter especially doesn't, because we stopped getting tiers the expansion after they release.
Also, the Monk sets that we already do have, they don't really look that well.
They look the same in a lot of cases, because they all just have floating balls.
Yeah, oh, man. I would agree there. A lot of the Monk transmogs have historically been lackluster, except for like BRF.
Hey, there's a reason why I've been using the Mist Dancer set since it became available.
Yeah. Like, I wish. And then they even just removed a lot of class flavor by removing tier sets. Now it's just all leather, all plate, all cloth looks the same. And I don't think that's
boring.
I don't like that. I don't like that move on their part. Because like the monk,
I love...
the demon hunter looks like the rogue, looks like the druid. It doesn't really make sense to me.
I love making ugly transmog, so that ball set is just perfect for me. But yeah, there's not really that many.
I mean, three words: songbird tunic. For those that don't know, that is the most obnoxiously plain pink shirt that you can farm up. I think it's in Strathholm as a rare.
And I kind of, talking about transmog, I liked at the end of Legion, transmogging a set that was entirely legendary pieces, since they were all from totally different sets and all that stuff. I kind of liked, because some of it looked really, really goofy.
The Brewmaster hat.
Yes.
We even have an emote for that on page.
I like mocking my demon hunter into the BRF monk set and just making it look really confusing. It's the main downside why brewmasters can't use dual wield now, is because I can't make my characters look exactly the same.
Well, that, obviously you were the reason. Way to go.
Ruining my fun. They always have to ruin my fun.
Yeah, they just have it out for you. Had for years.
Specifically me, because any class I made, they end up nerfing. That's why I'm not maining monk right now, is just so that you guys don't get nerfed. I'm doing it out of the goodness of my
heart. We appreciate it.
We do. We really appreciate your sacrifice.
I'm hoping not to see Mistweaver nerfs at BlizzCon. That would be ideal.
It's okay. But I've sacrificed everything. You won't see any.
Thank you.
She sacrificed everything.
Do you guys think we'll see many nerfs going into the next patch?
Well, we have a few brewmaster nerfs that are basically a drop in the bucket.
I think realistically, you have to consider Mistweaver nerfs. They are one of the most powerful healers right now in the game, besides Disc, which is just on another level. But I think they will buff Resto Shaman. Buff Resto Druid a little bit, even though they just nerfed them, which was confusing. And then I think they'll bring Mistweaver back in line a little bit, at least. I don't know if they're happy about Mistweaver being the top, since that's usually not where they like to be. I don't know why, but they like to have priests and like Resto Shamans be at the top. But I think realistically, Mistweavers will be brought down a little bit, at least.
Yeah, I don't foresee them really doing too many changes with Brewmaster, unless it's a mechanics change, because with the way that Brewmaster mechanics work right now, if they do too much of a knee-jerk nerf, Brewmaster is just going to be in an extremely bad place, and to be quite honest, and I don't use this word very often, they'd be pretty unviable. So I don't see too many nerfs happening. Maybe, you know, a few drops in the bucket, but because the way that Iron Skin Brew works and the entire brew system period, I just don't see them doing any major nerfs to Brewmaster.
I think it goes for tanks in general, honestly, because there's so few people playing tanks at the moment, and there's not much incentive to play tank. It's pretty boring at the moment. You don't have much agency of your own survival. So they really don't want to drive the few players who actually play tank away from it. It's like you'll have minor nerfs here and there, but I don't think we'll see large change.
I mean, you say that, and then the whole 8.0 patch happened.
I'm actually pretty interested in Babs and Hina, what you guys think about what they'll do to Windwalker, because I've been touching it, or messing around with it a little bit in Mythic Plus, and just on lower keys. Do you guys think it'll get buffed? Or?
Well, we did have a few of the changes pop up in the most recent PTR patch, and honestly, I'm for the changes, specifically the Touch of Karma nerf as well as the Touch of Death nerf. It's going to hurt a little bit more in PvP, but I do think they may need it above the overall damage just a little bit. Currently, it's been buffed from negative 27 to negative 23. I'm thinking more like negative 20. Would be the most ideal spot, but I don't have any backup for that. It's just my gut feeling.
I did see the Karma nerfs and the Touch of Death nerf. It would be a weird place for Windwalker to be if you were happy that they got nerfed. So I would hope they baseline buff them at least a bit to compensate.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is baseline nerf, baseline buff would probably be like negative 20 instead of negative 23. But like I said, that's kind of a gut feeling more than anything.
That's kind of the way that I feel too. But I think we probably won't hear much of that until after BlizzCon.
Yeah, I would say once 8.1 gets released, then they'll start looking, see if they need to buff it even more. especially just before the raid gets released. They'll probably do a tuning pass just before.
But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. So before we kind of close everything up, any other final hopes, dreams, or things you're looking forward to at BlizzCon? In regards to BlizzCon this year?
Well, next raid news would be cool. I think that will happen. They'll at least hint at it after what happens after Tazara Lore, because that's what they tend to do, was like what's next panel or whatever. So I'm hoping to see some next raid news.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they show us what they're doing story-wise in terms of characters like Ashara.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking that if anything, they might announce us going to the area of the Naga. Not so much, and then maybe the my personal thinking is the next raid will be an old god raid, basically, in the area where the Naga live. With Ashara being there, but I don't think she's going to be the main bad guy. I think it's going to be Nizoth more than anything else.
You think Ashara will be after Old Gods?
Yeah, I'm thinking they're setting up Ashara for the next expansion.
Huh.
Personally.
I always thought of Ashara being before all of the Old Gods stuff, but maybe I didn't even consider that.
Based off of what I'm gathering from her personality and whatnot, she, even when she's down, she's similar to Sylvanas, where she's trying to think three steps ahead. So I'm thinking she's trying to position herself so that if she loses her association with the Zoss, she's able to live on.
Oh, also, one other thing. I don't think it'll happen, but maybe it will be like a counterpart to the Sarfang cinematic. Maybe they'll have an Alliance side cinematic that they've been working on, but who knows? That's just a wild guess.
Technically, the original announcement is from the Alliance standpoint, thinking.
Yeah.
But I'm still thinking something's going to happen to Sylvanas, and Seraphang may be the one to take over as War Chief.
Yeah, I did see there will be like some Seraphang versus Sylvanas content in the near future, but maybe a cinematic to help tie that together would be cool to see. But I'm not expecting it, but it would be cool.
I personally really enjoyed the suggestion that somebody gave on Reddit earlier this week that the next raid has Lo, the little turtle we've been guiding around some of those quests, as the final boss. Like, we found out he got into some pretty dark stuff and becomes the final boss of the next raid.
That would be extremely dark.
That would just take the turtle memes to the next level.
Yep.
Like, three boss raid, I think.
It is a council raid with like Nami as part of this council.
Nami,
oh my god!
And love, yeah, that would boss. Be.
Well, that was like some of the suggestions that they had on Reddit, was that like part of the mechanics are like to throw crabs and seagulls at Lo to weaken him, like do all these Tortolan world quests in reverse. You know, have the arena set up like Orgorger. Kind of like a maze, you know. All that. It was, if you guys ever get a chance to check it out on Reddit, it was a really well thought out and actually sounded like a pretty cool idea. I mean, I think really the biggest thing that I am anticipating for BlizzCon is that at some point when they're talking about races or new races or whatever, someone will make a joke about horse mounts.
A horse race?
No, like just the fact that all the mounts for Alliance this expansion were all horses. So yeah. I think horse mounts will be the joke that they get a groan out of the audience from.
Yeah. That's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. I would bet on that, yeah.
Add it to the BlizzCon bingo card.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
All right, so on that, we will bring this to a close. It's been just shy of an hour, so consistent with the other podcasts. So thank you very much, everybody, for stopping in. Thank you, Callie, for popping by and everything. So thank you all for finding some time on your Saturday evening to come and join us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so the plan next week is to take next week off from our podcast since we do have BlizzCon. And even though I'm not going to it, I figure it's just easier to let people enjoy that rather than trying to toss a podcast into their mix. However, the plan is that after that, the following week, we will be starting to talk about the different specs and then either pick a specific spec or maybe do a general all three specs depending on where we're at in the 8.1 stuff if we think we'll have enough time to do a podcast on each spec. But we'll figure that out then. I'm also supposed to be on vacation that weekend, so we'll figure out how that goes too. So thank you very much to the guests. Thank you very much to everybody who listened. If you like this sort of content, please check out supporting Peak through Patreon and PayPal. If you support us through Patreon, it gives you access to a special donor channel as well as a couple other goodies in Discord. And when we do spec-specific podcasts, we do take questions and stuff from the donors. So please consider supporting for that. If you are heading to BlizzCon, either this year or looking to do it next year, consider checking out the Peak merchandise that we have through teespring.com, a bunch of nice t-shirts and stuff like that. I am on my third phone case because the first one I got a new phone, and then the second one was gray, and now I wanted black. But all the merchandise is very nice, so definitely check that out. And if you have a Peak shirt, don't forget to wear it if you are going to BlizzCon, so you can meet with any other monk fanatics. But thanks again to the listeners, to the guests, and that will wrap up episode 6 of PeakCraft. And until next time, have a good night, morning, afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are.